This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, Michigan golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways, brought to you by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with my original co-host, Kevin Frisch. And on today's show, Kevin and I will discuss the latest happenings on the PGA Tour and the new opening of golf courses here in Michigan. We will also have two local golf course celebrities from Northern Michigan, Judy Mason from Mishawe and Gordy LaFontaine from Pineview Highlands and Timberwolf. But in the meantime, Kev, you and I were just talking off air about the Masters.
Yeah.
We you know, opened our show a month early to encompass the Masters, as we all thought with the golf boom that it was a smart idea to start talking golf sooner than we ever have. And a lot of people acknowledge that the Masters is kind of when people start looking at golf and all that. But, you know, I was underwhelmed by this year's Masters.
I think that it was on its way to be really epic on Sunday until we got the 2 hours of rain on Saturday.
Well, yeah, but how come Matsuyama was the only one that really took advantage on Saturday?
I mean, he hit great shots. I mean, it's one of those things where he hit great shots, but where, you know, and I'm not going to discount those shots he hit because they were great shots.
Yeah.
But where those balls landed, had that rain not come in, the shot at 11 would have probably went over the green. The shot at 15 would have ran over the green. You know, some different things would have happened.
But I understand that. But what I'm saying is that he understood that there was more moisture in the greens and he could be more aggressive, but nobody else was.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you get peaks and valleys, you know, and that's what happens. But, you know, one of these years, and it's been about, I want to say it's been over 10 years since the Masters got that perfect weather all week where the golf course played firm and fast all week. They haven't had that in a long time. And they were on their way. Thursday and Friday?
Well, Friday, you know, there was more moisture in the green. Yeah. I mean, if it had been like Thursday all week long, I mean, what's the winning score? Five under?
Yeah. 5, 6 under?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at so many of the world's greatest golfers. Dustin Johnson, I mean, they just had no clue.
No, Rory McIlroy. No,
well, I didn't like Rory's chances coming.
No, he wasn't playing good. But, but what did Dustin do for a couple of days? He had to stick around to give the green jacket away. He couldn't leave. Ran down to T-Bones or Hooters?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, we'll see with the U.S. Open. We could talk about majors golf for a little. I'm not crazy about the Rota this year, period. Yeah. You know, Torrey Pines is the worst U.S. Open venue that they have, and they need to remove it. Like you said last year, they should go back up to Harding Park.
Harding Park or Riviera or, you know, but they're going to go to L.A. North and you know, up in L.A., which is fantastic in a few years. But Torrey Pines is the most boring oceanside golf course on the planet.
No doubt.
If they move that golf course inland a couple miles, it would just be another golf course.
Tell me, what is the signature hole of Torrey Pines North? There isn't one.
South, yeah, no, South. They're yeah. No. There's more scenic holes on the north, and I'm hoping to play it maybe next fall when I go out there, because Weisskopf redid it and I heard it's fantastic.
What, the other one?
The North course. Yeah. But it is. It's a big ballpark. It's just, you know, you're just going to have to bomb it and hit it long because they're going to be at sea level. And it's just, the holes are just, you know, it's average golf holes.
And a lot of them are the same.
Yes.
I'm totally shocked that they went back there.
Well, it's about West Coast and TV, but I agree. There's other places they could have gone out there and brought it back.
They could play Seven Bridges in San. You know, there's a lot of different places. You know, when they had those pay-per-view events, that's a great golf course.
Well, I'm a huge Riviera fan. They could make that golf course really.
Well, they've never had an Open there.
No, they've had a couple of
PGA.
Well, actually, they have back in the 50s.
That's right, because Hogan won the Open. And then a couple. That's why they call it Hogan's Alley. Because in a stretch of 2 years, he won three times.
I think he won two LA Opens and U.S.
Open. The U.S.
Open,
right, yeah.
And they had a PGA. The last major there was Steve Elkington's PGA.
Yeah, and beat Monty.
But they haven't gone back, which I've always thought was strange, because I think that's a great golf.
It's been a long time since Oakland Hills has hosted a major, because they lost money on the last PGA. They barely made any money with the Ryder Cup.
Right.
And then they actually lost money on the PGA, and it shuts down your golf course. I can't believe that, you know, with all the new membership that's gone in Oakland Hills, they would go ahead and did another redo with Gil Hands.
That is highly anticipated to be, you know, when it opens this summer.
Look, I know exactly what they did and why they did it. You know, I know a ton of people at Oakland Hills. I got married on the 18th fairway. Mm-hmm. I know a lot about Oakland Hills. The first time the membership voted that thing down twice before they finally got to do it. Why they want to hold a U.S. Open is strictly for the reputation, to keep it in the, you know, in the top 25 in the world. But look at Augusta is already starting to plant more trees back on their golf course. This bear rip down, take all the trees. I think that's already rotating out of golf theory, and that's what they've done at Oakland Hills. And Kevin, there's not a lot of trees left at Oakland Hills. Well, when I caddied there, you couldn't see from fairway to fairway.
No, exactly. I know they've opened it back up. But when it comes to a major, you know they can tighten fairways, grow the rough. So
I'm just saying.
Oakmont's a good example, and what they did at Oakmont is spectacular.
But why is Augusta putting more trees back on their golf course?
Because Augusta, you can't grow rough down there like you can, you know, at Oakland Hills. And it's a different design. They've got a different philosophy down there. I would love to see Augusta National take out all of those pines and have a spreading waste area. If you want my opinion, that's my opinion.
Oh, shush.
Take all the trees
out. Okay, I'm going to cut that part. You know, I can edit this show any way I want to. But, you know, getting back to the Masters, and I think part of the reason why there was an underwhelming finish, number one, nobody put a lot of pressure on Matsuyama.
Right.
We were talking about it off air. Xander Schauffele kind of got back in the mix, and before he could put any serious pressure, Matsuyama hits it in the water at 15, still got to play 16 and 18. He could throw a couple bogeys in there.
Right.
But Schauffele takes his foot right off his neck, or even if on his chest or wherever, and hits it in the water on 16, and it's over.
He was hot on his heels, made a bad swing. He made a bad swing. That's all you can chalk it up to. But Matsuyama was falling apart. If Matsuyama had to play two more golf holes, it was going to be interesting. He did not finish strong. He didn't have to. I know he probably, maybe his focus got away from him. I thought it was a cool win. I thought from a worldwide standpoint.
I get that.
I think with Augusta doing that Asian Pacific Amateur years ago and kind of come full circle with this win.
And Ridley said the right things, but to have your Masters champion have to be interpreted is not optimal.
No, it's not optimal. But
people have been saying this about the LPGA Tour for years.
Right. I did think it was cool, though, that they played the Japanese. They did some Japanese calls with Tommy Nakajima, which I thought was great. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, for worldwide golf, yes. And I think, you know, Faldo spent a ton of time in Japan, and so is Ian Baker Finch. So they kind of, you know, were prepping the audience. You have no idea how big this is going to be in Japan. And by all accounts, Hideki Matsuyama has never taken the jacket off since he's gotten to Japan. He wears it everywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought it was a cool win. I think this was going to happen. This was going to happen sooner or later with worldwide golf the way it is, with the way the Augusta National promotes worldwide golf with that Asian Pacific Amateur. It was going to happen sooner than later. And I thought it was pretty cool. You know, in a strange year, you come back from what we had last year. And to come into this, I thought it was neat.
I just like more pressure and more drama at my Masters.
We always want a better finish. Always. It's good.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. You know, we didn't have one really. Dustin Johnson didn't have very much pressure put on him. But that was more of a coronation than anything else. Not as obviously as huge as when Tiger won going away. But everybody was expecting Dustin Johnson to do it. And to watch him do it was cool to, you know, like, some of the guys that 5 or 6 years you expect to win a Masters, and he finally did, like Phil.
Right.
Or like, is Dustin Johnson going to be like Greg Norman and never win at a course that is tailor-made for him?
I'm looking at Rory in those shoes right now. I do believe he's going to win there, but it could be like Phil. It could be a few more years, and then it just happens.
Rory's what, 31 now? I mean, he's just over 30. Phil won when he was 36.
34.
So maybe, but you know, right now, I think we talked about this last time you were on the show. Rory's lost in a lot of different ways.
I believe he just got a new swing coach.
Well, Cowan.
So they're looking at some things. So we'll see. Now didn't he win the PGA the last time it was at Kiowa?
Yeah.
you know, but he's not hitting it well enough right now.
Well, he played a soggy, not so windy Kiwa Island course. We will see what kind of conditions. I mean, everything is about the weather at Kiwa.
Right. Right, exactly.
And he got lucky. You know, people talk about most of Rory's wins being on soggy golf courses. So
and big ballparks.
Yeah. Well, Kiwa's not really a big – I mean, it's long-ish. Yeah. But, you know, if the wind is blowing there, it's hell on earth.
When I played there the first time, I make the turn at even, teed off in the morning, made the turn at even. Not from the back tees, by the way. Just to preface that. And I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. It's a really good golf course. It's strong. Well, then the wind picked up, and in about 15 minutes, it was blowing like 20 to 25. And then I made an 11 on number 10 and then made an 8 on number 17 to go 36-51 or something like that.
Yeah, I've done that before, you know.
The wind was
on way lesser golf. Yeah. No, that's, you know, seaside links. That's what you get. I mean – I played Pebble Beach in both conditions, and Pebble Beach can be fairly easy when the wind is not blowing. When it's blowing, you better flight your golf ball. You better control your golf ball.
Yeah, exactly. No, it should be, if the weather's good, it should be a fun, you know, it should be a fun PGA there at Kiwa.
I mean, what they're playing Royal St. George's?
Yeah, Royal St. George's, and then obviously Torrey that we talked about.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's not – Royal St. George's is a bleh golf course.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
It's definitely not at the top of the Rota.
No, it's not at the top of the Rota. I mean, when's the last time they played there? I think Darren Clark's win. In fact, awesome. I know it's Darren Clark's win.
Yeah.
So that's what, 14?
Right.
Right. So it's a once of an every 8 year kind of pop-up.
Yeah.
But well, hopefully we get – Torrey Pines with some teeth. Kiwa Island with some teeth.
Yeah.
Unless Torrey has some serious wind. Now, it's right on the ocean. But
there's always some wind. But
wind that really affects the game.
Right.
So,
and it'll be interesting to see how they do the setup. You know, some cool things at Torrey, if they took those holes along the rid, like 12 and I think it's 4, whatever, if they move the fairways closer to the cliffs, you know, and brought that in play. That's the tough thing. You get along the ocean there, and it's pretty, but the holes are...
No, they're not part of it, and not like Pebble where it's part of the deal.
Right.
But if you had that kind of wind for a day or 2 days, like when they were at Pebble when Tom Kite won, and he was the only guy the last day to shoot even par.
Right.
Now, that would be cool, where guys are really, you know, at the mercy of the wind.
I would love to see Torrey bring in Gil Hands, who has been going around for the USGA and basically fixing all of this stuff that Reese did back in the 90s. They're going back to these venues, and they're fantastic. And if he did that at Torrey, I think Gil Hands could do some amazing things with that golf course to make it really cool.
Well, you know, Hands is the guy right now. He's the one that just did the redo at Oakland Hills like we prefaced, and being talked to by some local folks about maybe doing a golf course that we won't name right now. So,
right.
Yeah. When we return here on Finding Fairways, we will talk with our good friend Judy Mason, the director of golf at Mishaway, about her new season opening up and the great junior golf program they have at Mishaway and throughout the Gaylord area. That's when we return on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. It's time to check in with our friends from carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle is on the phone with me. And Tim, I can't think of a better Mother's Day present than something from carlsgolfland.com.
Well, we appreciate that. We have a lot of stuff lined up for people shopping for their moms out there this year. You know, package sets, shoes. We got a big category on the website for deals specifically geared towards Mother's Day. And if all else fails, we have gift cards, and now this year, e-gift cards on the website, so you can get it instantly. So if you forgot or it's running late, you know, we got you covered.
Yeah, you know, my dad was a lot easier to shop for on Father's Day. I just got him golf balls. But my mom, you know, you guys have such great apparel. And what woman golfer doesn't want another brand new pair of golf shoes?
You know, it's funny. My mom's not even a golfer. When she comes to the store, she spends however much time in the apparel department. Yeah, we do have free returns, Jerry, as well, which is a thing that's always going on our website. So if you're not sure, you know, the color, the size, whatever, we got you taken care of. You can send it back on us. We do have a free shipping promotion as well. So shipping to us, from us, is not going to be a hassle this Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's free shipping for Mother's Day is just another cherry on top. And going back to the shoes, you've got special edition Nikes, Adidas, and Under Armours.
Yeah, we have some limited Nikes, Air Max 90s coming in, some Adidas Stan Smiths coming in, and we just got a pop of Under Armour Steph Curry, so kind of crossing sports there. Jeez, we're getting another pop of some of these things, so be on the lookout on the website. We'll be sure to post them on our social channels as well, but some really cool limited edition footwear coming here soon.
Well, show how much you love your mom and visit carlsgolfland.com and get her something that she's truly going to enjoy. Tim, I know you're super busy with all the stuff coming in online, so we'll check in with you again next week.
All right, sounds good, Jerry. Thank you.
Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. And Judy Mason, Director of Golf at Mishaway, is on the phone with us. Judy, we've talked to you off and on now since Kevin and I started the show, but how many years have you been at Mishaway now?
Oh, this is my 18th season here at Mishaway.
Wow, that's awesome.
I think you're the golf emeritus for Gaylord now, right?
Yes, she is.
I don't know. It's good to be here. It's a comfortable place to work and live, and just love the community and the golf course here. So they've made it easy for me.
And it's a wonderful golf course too, Judy. It's the classic Parkland style, fun to play. All those homeowners association people out there have a great spot to go tee it up.
They do, and you know, the course is in great shape. Came through the winter wonderfully. Looks awesome out there. And yes, if you live here, you're part of something special, you know, being able to have a course like this in your backyard. And we all the community members here take great pride in the golf course and support it in so many ways, not only coming out and playing and supporting it, but, you know, volunteering to help with special projects on the course. So great community and a great golf course combination here for sure.
And it is a really great golf course, and sometimes it flies under the radar. And I'm not sure if people know this, but Mishaway's held two Michigan Amateur Championships, and they just don't go to any golf course.
No, yeah, a lot of history here, you know, just what the two tournaments you just highlighted. We host a lot of Golf Association of Michigan tournaments over many decades here. So it's a fun course to play. If you play the right tees, it's a fun course to play every day. You can play it 7 days a week. But it's also a great tournament course as well, for sure.
And especially under COVID protocol last year and how busy you were, Judy, it's an easy course to walk if you want to do that. You know, my preference, if I have the option, is to walk, and Mishaway is about as easy a walk as you can find.
It is. You know, it's perfect for walking. And we've seen a trend with more walkers, you know, in recent years, and then there was beyond a trend. It became a surge last year with COVID, and you know, people are getting out and using golf more as, you know, get some fresh air, get some exercise. So there's a surge in walking rounds, and we're the perfect layout for that. And to kind of complement that, we're trying something out new. If you've ever seen a club car tempo walk, we're going to have a couple of those here at the golf course this year, and it's basically a remote control caddy. We're going to be offering a couple of those on a first-come, first-served basis, and we're going to add more if we need them, but they're pretty cool gizmo. You put your clubs on there and a little remote on your belt, and that thing follows you around for 18 holes. It has a GPS screen on it, and all the trimmings for storage and carrying along everything you need. So check out the Club Car Tempo. If you Google that, you can see what a great add-on for your round would be if you want to walk and take that along. We're going to have a couple of them here this summer.
Those are very cool. I actually messed around with one of those and demoed one at the PGA show a few years ago, Judy, and definitely those are worth trying out. And I know a few years ago you had a wonderful caddy program in place. I'm not sure what the status of that is with everything going on with the pandemic, but is there any thoughts of bringing that back if you're not doing it right now? What's the status of that?
We're hoping to in the future. We don't have it yet scheduled for this year. You know, it's a, we had a blessing a few years ago of some young, avid golfer kids around here that it worked out great to do it. And if we can get the right setup, we do intend to try to, you know, give that a rebirth. But we're not going to start out with it this spring. We're going to play it by ear with the you know, COVID situation a little bit longer. So we thought these tempo walks might be a cool alternative in the meantime, and we're looking forward to that.
So the course is open now, Judy?
It is. We are open. Our driving range and our golf course are open, and our grill, all weather, you know, weather permitting, of course, as we get rolling here this spring. But the course is in great shape, and yeah, I'm watching golfers take off right now, so we're rolling for 2021.
Well, there's a hearty golfers going out today in 45-degree misty weather, but, you know, especially given what we went through last year and the boom in golf, it's not surprising. People are itching to play. Mishaway is right in the heart of golf in northern Michigan. When you and I were talking about setting this up, we did want to talk a lot about Gajuga, which has been a fantastic program in Gaylord. That was one of the things that had to get cut last year because of the pandemic, but you're reopening it, huh?
We are. We're going to get the Gajuga program going for this spring. It's the Gaylord Area Junior Golf Association. We have kids from all over northern Michigan that over the years, decades, have participated in this. We have a great program set for 2021. Gajuga is kind of geared towards beginners or like an introduction to the game of golf, ages 7 to 17. And we have a lot of information online at GaylordJuniorGolf.com. We have the whole summer schedule posted online, and we also have the registration form with more information posted online. And our kickoff evening for registration and the first clinic is going to take place here at the Mishaway Pines course on Wednesday. Wednesday, May 5th, is the kickoff clinic. The First Tee of Northern Michigan, their staff comes in and runs the 9 clinics that are included with the program. The golf courses in the area, there's 5 courses that donate an on-course event throughout the season. Treetops does a fun family fun night. So there's a lot of great activities included for the kids to introduce them to the game of golf. And we look forward to a great year for the Gajuga program.
Judy, that's been such a wonderful program. I think, didn't it get started back in the 90s? It's been that long?
Yeah, I think, yeah, maybe the early 90s.
Yeah.
It's been around a long time. It's really introduced a lot of people, a lot of kids, and now they're, you know, grown adults, some of them with kids going through the program now. So
what's one of the primary reasons? One of the primary reasons why the Gaylord golf team has been so good the last few years.
Well, and I was just going to talk about that, because if you look at this, it started back in the 90s. Back then, only Gaylord High School had a golf team.
Yeah.
But if you look now, mm-hmm. Joburg has a golf team.
St. Mary's
has a golf team.
Right.
It's wonderful what that program has done for the area and introducing young kids to the game of golf. And you guys are all rock stars at it, and I love it.
Well, and you know what else it's done is it's introduced the game to kids that are now also participating in things like the PGA Junior League.
Exactly.
You know, and
yeah.
They're going on to more, you know, not highly competitive, but they're getting more into the game. It's a building block, and we're proud of what Gajuga has done to introduce, and then we just love to see the kids get on these golf teams or play in PGA Junior League or all the great things that the kids move on to do. You know, whether they're becoming adults and it helps them out in business to be a golfer, we've seen it all, and
right.
we're proud of the program and hope to have a great season ahead.
Judy, very briefly, I know you have a ton of leagues available at Mishaway. A couple of them closed out, but you're always looking for folks that want to have a regular game each week.
We are. We have a number of different options. We have morning leagues for men and ladies. We have afternoon leagues for men and ladies. We have travel leagues that we're a part of here at the Mishaway Pines course, a co-ed, a new co-ed, 9-hole Thursday late afternoon league as well. And all of our leagues and activities are listed on our website at MishawayPines.com. You can go to the events and league page, and you can see all the different options that are there. And we'd love to have you come out and play the course or come out and play the course every week within one of those great leagues. So we're gearing up for a fun summer ahead.
Judy Mason, Director of Golf at Mishaway Pines Golf Course, thanks so much for joining us on Finding Fairways. And Judy, I know I'll see you soon and very often this summer, spring and summer at Mishaway.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Judy, take care.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Kevin Frisch. And on the phone with us is Gordy LaFontaine, who is the owner of Pineview Highlands and Timberwolf Golf Courses here in northern Michigan, and also a member of the Michigan Golf Hall of Fame. Gordy, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
We should have taped what we just were talking about.
We just talked about a lot of good stuff. We might have to revisit something.
Yeah, a little bit about that. But we do want to talk about your golf courses first and foremost. How long have you owned Pineview Highlands and Timberwolf?
Pineview Highlands, 27 years. I think my son has Timberwolf about 9 years now.
They're,
bought it from Mark Caverly.
At Pineview Highlands, just a really cool golf course overlooking Houghton Lake, and then Timberwolf is a real fine golf course just outside of Grayling, between Grayling and Kalkaska. Right. Tell us about owning a golf course in northern Michigan.
Well, it's really interesting because I was in the distribution business involved in turf for years, selling turf equipment, and I kind of sold the business and I didn't have anything to do when I was 49 years old, so... Guy called me and said, there's a golf course for sale in Houghton Lake. I said, sure as hell, I'm not going to buy a golf course, and it won't be in Houghton Lake. So I came up to have a drink and bought it. Came up to have a drink that afternoon and bought it. Went home and told my wife we own a golf course in Houghton Lake. And then we immediately built another 9 because it was only 9 holes.
Right.
And, Jeff Gorney, J. John Gorney, designed the back and really 11 okay. holes. And you know, you're 49 years old, you can do a lot more work. And we put it together in a year and opened it up the following year, 95.
And
I've had a tremendous amount of advice from a lot of great turf people, so it's been a lot of fun.
Nice. And it overlooks Houghton Lake. That's beautiful.
That's
and
a great spot.
You know, with all the new players
yeah,
coming.
You're 200 some, yeah, you're 200 some feet over the lake when you get to the back of the golf course. It's really great, pretty. People drive by and say it's just a flat golf course till they play it.
Is that, do you have a...
And it came through the... Came through the winter just fantastic. Both golf courses, I would imagine everybody did. We didn't have that severe of a winter. So we're greener than we've ever been at this point in the season and meeting a lot of new golfers and having a lot of fun.
I was just going to ask you about that with all this influx of new players coming in. I mean, you know, if somebody asked me what kind of golf course would you like to buy today, Kevin, and the golf courses that you own are just are perfect. They're affordable. They're fun to play. You've probably had a ton of new players come out this past year.
Yeah, we've had so many people that have moved to Houghton Lake because they can work virtually and they might as well look at a lake or Higgins Lake as to be sitting in Clarkson or Troy or something. So it's worked out really well. We've had a lot of play during the week. Once they get off their computer, come and play golf. So we had a tremendous, anybody in the golf business had to have a fantastic year last year. It didn't start out so good, but as we moved through it, that was one of the only things that we could recreate at, and it really planned out well.
Gordy, is Pineview or Timberwolf semi-private, or are they completely public?
We just have the annual memberships. You know, we have people that buy out what you would call a season pass.
Uh-huh.
So we have some members, but pretty much open to the public.
And very affordable, too.
Oh, yeah.
$35 for green fees. I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's great.
We were down in Florida. We were paying $45 to play 9 holes in the afternoon. So we have very affordable golf in the state of Michigan.
For people that haven't played Pineview or Timberwolf, Gordy, what are the features? Well, how do you describe your golf course?
I think that the biggest thing in being in the turf business all my life is to have a golf course that's maintained, trimmed, fertilized, irrigated, you know, give the people a product. And I think that that's been our success. My son, who I have one son that runs all the dealerships up north, and he was in the turf business. He went to turf school, worked for Bruce Wolf at Barton Hills, and ended up in the car business. And my son that was in the business ended up at a golf course in Kalkaska, and he's doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, Timberwolf's really fun.
He's really enjoying it.
I like Timberwolf. It's really nicely routed. There's a lot of unique collection of holes there. And the first time you play it, it's really surprising what you get.
The other thing is, I think as you're looking out at the landscape around there, there's a pretty nice view from Timberwolf. You can see quite a ways, you know, get on some of those tee boxes. You got some.
How old is Timberwolf? When was that built?
You know, I don't know that exact number. I know that they built at the Cavaliers, and of course, Mark was in the construction business. And there was supposed to be a racetrack built in Kalkaska, which never happened. So right. He built the 18-hole golf course. And his mother and his brother were running it. And I met him in a bar in Novi, and he said, you want a plaque and a couple of scotches? I said, okay. And I met with my boys in the morning. And my one son said, I'll take it. I said, let's go. And he's... owns it, and he does a tremendous job there.
The as Kevin said, they're very affordable golf. Nice little grill. You guys, what kind of golf league action do you have, Gordy, at either one of the places?
We have about 8 or 12 leagues, but they're during the day, every certain day. And then we have two big leagues, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday night. My son's big league, I believe, is on Tuesday. And we're getting a lot of couples coming out playing in couples leagues. So it's been quite interesting to people. And I think it's really important to have good employees. I'm blessed to have tremendous employees that have been with me a while. And, you know, being congenial with people and making them feel like they're a part of everything is really important. I'm very blessed to have my superintendent has been with me since he was 16 years old. He's now 40 years old.
Wow.
Sent him to turf school, and he's doing a phenomenal job.
So, Gordy, you oversaw the turf school at Michigan State, and, you know, you've seen this the evolution in turf over the years and what it's done to golf. And where do you see it going in the future?
I think as we, in fact, it's funny you mentioned I have a meeting with some people at the university because I retired in some fashion, I guess, but they've asked me to come back to go over some things. That we're looking at the age of the professors that are there. As you know, the Turf Foundation, which I was executive director and tremendous board of directors, we started out with like $1,200 in 1965, and we now are maintaining about $3.5 million, of which the interest of that money goes to turf research to the professors. And we have a turf center that Jack Brusen was kind enough to give us a piece of land. And I've been all over the country to Rutgers, Cornell, trying to think in South Carolina, Clemson, and started turf programs, and people are realizing, I mean, people don't go to the Carolinas to smoke cigarettes anymore. They go there to play golf. So they have put a big effort into going and train people to be superintendents. And right now, our biggest problem is getting people to go into the field because there's plenty of people that are never going to be lawyers and doctors that want to be outside. So we're trying to build that program back up. At one time, we were turning people down in the turf program, but right now we need to build that back up because of the need of young people to come in. And we have some like 2,500 superintendents throughout the country that all graduated from Michigan State and have done very, very well. So we have a great alumni of people out there that return on campus. And if you ask me the things of the future, I think that we've got to come up with some grasses and do some molecular work on grasses that don't need so much maintenance,
right,
so much water. Where presently Joe Vargas has a flagstick, which is new breed grass that he came out with, which is dollar spot resistant, which is tremendous because that's the one thing we spray the most of. So, and then we've got some experiments over at Red Run where we've got a big bank at Red Run and only has to be mowed about once a month.
Wow.
So we need to do some molecular work there so that, you know, we need less water and to protect the environment. You know, and grass is the finest filter in the world alongside of streams or riverbanks.
Sure.
We need to keep that turf. In fact, all through the Saginaw Valley, they planted grass seed along the ditches so that the, you know, whatever's coming off those fields would get caught and grow into the turf and not get into the waterway. So turf is a pretty valuable thing.
Gordy, we're going to have to have you on again talking more about the turf business side of golf because it is where, you know, brown is the new green and all the theories about golf. But we're running out of time here. I did want you to give the opportunity to tell our listeners how they can get tee times, the website, and maybe join one of your leagues.
Yeah, just get over PineviewHighlands.com and You can always call the clubhouse. We'd love to talk to anybody. 99-366-7726. And I really appreciate the time. And as we move along and the change of what we're doing in the way of research at Michigan State, I'll get with you and we'll share some of that with you.
That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic. Gordy LaFontaine from Pine View Highlands and Timberwolf. Thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Kevin Frisch. And Kev, like we were saying at the end, we ran out of time with Gordy LaFontaine.
That was great.
Yeah. No, I knew that he was in the turf business, but obviously he has extremely intimate knowledge of how that business, how important it is to golf.
Definitely, and I could sit here for segments and talk to him about grasses and how, you know, turf and how it impacts golf course design, golf course maintenance, which is just hugely important for the future as far as the cost of maintaining golf courses.
Well, you know, that's one thing that we should point out to our listeners. You know, Pine View Highlands and Timberwolf may be inexpensive golf courses, but when you have a guy that owns it, like Gordy LaFontaine, and what he said is about the product. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's be honest. There's a number of golf courses all around the state that are goat tracks, you know,
right.
For whatever reason, maintenance is not really high on the important lists.
And part of that, it's cost. That's the most costly part of owning a golf course.
Yeah. And people don't get it.
No. They don't understand it. And it's an investment in your product. But at the same time, you know, what Gordy's talking about and how they have to come up with ways to create turf that doesn't require as much water, doesn't require as much maintenance. And I thought, you know, and I'm just going to circle back around real quick to the Masters. Thursday afternoon. When was the last time you saw greens that had the brown tintish purple look to them?
And couple guys putted off 15 into the water.
Yes, they putted off, they chipped off, they did everything. And I thought one of the funniest comments, and I'm trying to remember who said it, was, the golf course is tough. You know, if you landed on a green splotch, it checks. But if you landed on a brown splotch, it's gone. And it's hard to judge that from 180 yards. But anyways, back to the turf. You know, Augusta's always set this green as the, you know.
Well, green is green.
Green is green, and it puts pressure on so many superintendents around the country that, you know, like you referenced, brown is the new green, and creating ways to do that, to you don't have to spend as much on maintenance
important. Well, I mean, like the loop.
Yeah.
The loop is a perfect example of this, you know, and that's why some of the reason why they like to build golf courses up here, because that sandy soil doesn't require nearly the type of maintenance.
Right.
And the kind of maintenance that they have to put in at Forest Dunes on the Forest Dunes course, as opposed to the loop, is about 3-1.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where we need to get to. I think Gordy's the perfect person to have on to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I would tell anybody out there, if you have questions about what you can do with your golf courses, call Gordy.
Yeah.
Pick his brain.
But what I'm saying, for $20, $35 to play a golf course that the greenskeeper has been around for a long time, that's why we love Gaylord Country Club and Mishaway with Judy Mason. They've had the same staff for a long time.
Right.
And they know the golf courses are meticulously maintained and the greens are perfect. And for those dollar rates, to play that kind of golf course experience,
you
just can't touch it.
No, you can't. You can't. You know, once they figured out their turf, they're in a groove, they know what they have to do. But if you look at Mishaway, you know, you compare a Mishaway and a Gaylord Country Club to, say, a Treetops. you know, the cost to maintain treetops just because of how much grass you have to mow.
Well,
how many bunkers? So it's all kinds of stuff.
I mean,
you've got
I don't want to get into slamming golf courses. I mean, treetops is
a tremendous collection
of golf courses.
But I'm just saying, comparatively, when you have a golf course that just doesn't have the expanse, the wide fairways, there's a difference in the cost of maintenance, but there's a difference in rate. And that's where I was going with that. That's why these golf courses, the resort courses, will charge more. Because there is a bigger cost and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that anything's, you know, better than the other. It's just different.
No, it is. I just, you know, the last few times that I played treetops, you notice some things that you wish they would address.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. It is easier to maintain Gaylord Country Club or Mishaway because they're just a lot smaller lots. They don't have huge hills. You don't have greens up on the side of a bank with huge bunkers bored out of them. Like, you don't even know how to tell a maintenance guy how to fix them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, and they're not going to go in and just, you know, re-bunker the golf course. I mean, we've talked about this before when you and I are out at Gaylord. If they wanted to put not even $1 million, $750,000 into rebunkering the golf course at Gaylord, it would be an amazing upgrade. Not that it needs it, but it would just change everything about it.
It would. There's things you can look at. There's things you can look at on every golf course, too.
Right.
If you want to change or put the money or put the capital into it. But then again, you got to get that back.
And right.
So that comes with higher green fees. So it's everything's relative.
Well, and you know what? And maybe we'll talk to JT or some of the other guys in the, you know, middling golf business. Are we going to see a boost in golf rates? You know, with demand
right.
comes mm-hmm. the ability to charge more. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, we mentioned this a couple times last year and the beginning of this year about hosting these shows 3 years ago and looking at the forecast for the future of golf looking bleak.
Right.
And the pandemic, for God bless its reasons, has turned the golf business around, the equipment business and the golf course business.
Right.
And when we're talking to Gordy, I'm thinking to myself, you know, people are probably starting to think about building more golf courses. That business looked like it was going to be over in the United States.
Well, I hope they don't build more golf courses because we don't need more golf courses. Let me just go say that right away because we've gone through a serious oversupply of golf courses for a long time.
Well, in Michigan especially.
And I know even though there's a lot of people out there playing right now and golf courses are busy and packed, we don't need more golf courses. You know, it just depends on who you are, but overall, we don't need more golf courses.
Okay. Although we know a couple people that are thinking about building another
golf. Listen, there are certain places out there that may have demand for another golf course. But what happened back in the 90s, you know, that we don't need that kind of
right.
oversaturation in building again.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to see the housing going on golf courses. That's where the boom came from, right? Everybody
right.
thought, well, here's a business model. You build a great golf course with Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer, and you put a whole bunch of houses on it, and you sell them all out, and you're a billionaire. And
right.
and that really didn't happen.
No, that model's gone. More destination golf is what seems to be happening right now. You look at places like Sand Valley, and even with Forest Dunes with the Loop and the short course that opened up, you know, more destination golf courses are being built than what you just talked about with real estate and things like that.
Yeah, and we're couldn't be more pleased to have the explosion in golf. It led to the expansion of this golf show.
Yep.
And there's a lot of great things to talk about. And we're happy that folks that were skeetering on the edge of, you know, thinking about closing their golf course or whatever back into a boon for golf that we hope stays for many, many years.
Yeah, and I'm going to add to people out there that are thinking about trying to play the game or thinking about getting back into it, go out and play. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to be outdoors.
No doubt about it. And that leads us to the end of this show. And the slogan that Kevin and I started a long time ago, which is find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be back with you next week here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. It is time to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. Ken Griffin is on the phone with me, and Ken, we continue to open up more and more the courses at Boyne. What's the status right now?
Well, you know, it's nice to see spring finally arrive and not just a couple days a week, but it looks over the next couple of weeks we're going to be in the 50s to 60s, so that's good news. And we opened the Moore on Friday, so now we have two Boyne golf courses open out of the 10. The Crooked Tree's been open for a couple of weeks with great conditions, and we've been welcoming a lot of golfers.
I love the Moore. Great golf course, one of the overlooked courses in your package. So the early golfers are going to get a treat.
Yeah, we've been talking about the courses wintered very well, and they're in great shape.
And then this Friday, you're going to open the Hills, right?
Well, actually, Thursday, we're going to open up Preserve Links at Bay Harbor Golf Club. And then on Friday, we're going to open two more. We'll have two of your favorites, I think. The Hills at Boyne Highlands, as well as the Alpine at Boyne Mountain.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just when I'm playing golf in the area, the Alpine just turns out to where I play the most, and it never gets old. Always in great shape, always a good challenge. But about
for all ability levels.
Yeah, for all ability.
For all ability levels. Yeah.
Well, we know my ability.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, while we're talking about Boyne Mountain, there's a new deal on the table, too. We created a Boyne Mountain golf pass for this spring and early summer. So you enjoy both courses, unlimited golf on the Alpine and the Monument courses at Boyne Mountain, and you can play Sunday through Friday after 11 o'clock. You also get unlimited range access, unlimited range balls, and that's from May 7th right through the end of June, and that's all for just $800.
Just a tremendous value for those golfers that really can get out and play a lot this spring. I can't think of a better deal. So you got to go to BoyneGolf.com for all these details. And, of course, to start scheduling your buddies' trips and all of that, because, as Ken has been saying, demand is up.
It sure is.
Ken, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the links. And you got to go to BoyneGolf.com.